I'm getting older. And I am anxious about all that we can do here, particularly. So the idea was that very early on that we should have had elders. The Constitution says that I should choose them. And we have currently Brian, the other Bruce, Jean, and one vacancy. And I'm happy, very happy, to say that Jilly has accepted the position as the other elder. And what I'm hoping now, and that's why I said the first sentence about me, I'm hoping that the four with me will meet, particularly for prayer, more often than we've been able to do in the past. If we are able, Jean, to meet at your home, if that would be easier for you.
Yeah.
Well, that I did share that with Julie the other day when we talked about, you know, her side of it. And Julie particularly will be involved in what we do here on Sunday. That will be particularly her task or gifting, I think I'd prefer to say. She's very good at going out and talking to people in the pub. So I don't want to, I don't wish to expect anything from any of the four that they don't feel is theirs, or they don't feel they have the gifting or the interest. So in other words, I want to use all four with what they know they can give. Is that all right? Right, thank you, Julie.
Just enjoying sitting down then. Sorry, I'm not firing on all cylinders this morning, but I'm trusting the worship is going to bring me up to par. I had a bit of a bad night, so. Thank you, Bruce, and obviously it's a privilege to take on that role, and I hope that we will all pray for each other as we move forward. So we've got a wonderful message. Well, it's always a wonderful message, isn't it? I did have my finger in it, and I should know it, but I'm going to read it from here. Oh, goodness, sorry. It's a good start, isn't it? Ah, there it is. So the message, the universe did not just come into existence by chance, and I believe that we all believe that, and Bruce is obviously going to expand on that for us later. But it was a wonderful opportunity to choose songs around that. And so we're going to start first with Morning Has Broken. Just such beautiful words. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the word. And then we're going to go into Power. Bless you, Graham. Dear. And the first verse says, as I look at the beauty around me, your name cries out in everything I see. Your voice calls out in all of creation, in witness to the power that you bring. So we'll start with morning has broken, but I'll just pray before we start. Lord Jesus, we thank you every week that we can come here to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we acknowledge that some of us are not feeling up to par this morning, but Lord, we know that as we come to worship you, everything feels different and precious. And Lord, thank you. And thank you for this place. Thank you for the Willows Pub and the staff and all that we meet here. Lord, thank you for this place of community. And Lord, I lift each one of us up to you and all those too who are unable to be with us, but maybe will hear this online. So thank you, Jesus, as we worship you this morning. In your precious name, Lord. Amen.
Now may we come together in prayer. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to worship you, to say that we love you and adore you. You, Lord, mean so much to us. Not only are you our creator and provider, you are open to all who trust you. You give a new life, an abundant life, an eternal life. Such is your love for us. So, Lord, we desire to repent of our past and offer our lives completely to you. Take us, Lord, and use each one of us in accordance with your will. We pray for your world. We pray for all people in it. We pray for leaders, for doctors, for nurses, for carers, and all, Lord, all who contribute to make life more peaceful, more wonderful, and more pleasing to you. We pray for your church. Grant us by the power of the Spirit to be your ambassadors, and may glory be yours alone. We pray especially today for Stuart, Jean's husband. Lord, we ask that you would keep him safe and that you would be all that he needs. We pray for the rest of the family too, Lord, and particularly for Jean. We pray for Brian's son. We thank you for the recovery that has been seen in David, and we pray you'll continue to be with him. We pray, Lord, for Rita's granddaughter, April, still waiting to know, Lord, when the surgery is going to take place. And Lord, we pray that you would be with Rita herself as she goes forward for surgery. We pray also today for Bruce's workmate, Rachel. Lord, she is having to have cancer cells dealt with, and she is quite nervous about her appointment. We pray, Lord, that you would be her strength and her courage. But also, Lord, we pray that you would be her healer. We pray for Bruce's mum and dad. We pray for all people in need. We pray for our friends and family and ask, Lord, that you would be with them and all people in need. Lord, we ask that you would pray for us as your family here. We pray for Richard. We pray for Gillian Robert. We pray for Brian. We pray for Graham. We pray for Rachel. we pray for Deborah, and we ask, Lord, that you would undertake for Deborah's health at this time. We pray for Bruce. We pray for Rita. We pray for Jean. We pray for Sarah. We pray for Bruce himself and his own family. We pray for Eunice and myself. Lord, be with us. Help us, Lord, that we might be your true disciples. And Lord, may we know your guidance and your presence at all times. And now, Lord, as we look to the future, we ask that you would equip and guide us as we seek to walk with you day by day. May our walk be filled with joy, hope, and peace. And may we walk so closely with you that nothing will spoil our relationship with you, O Father, Son, and Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we pray together the family prayer? Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. Back to Janine.
So another beautiful old hymn as we look at this message this morning. For the beauty of the earth, for the beauty of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Father, unto you we raise this our sacrifice of praise.
On verse 4, we're going to repeat the last line, but we're going to repeat it at like a quarter speed, so probably might want to follow me. Well, it's probably not a good idea always, but on this occasion, maybe.
Rita for our Bible reading.
The Bible reading is Psalm 24 of David, the psalmist. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol, or swear by what is false. He will receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from God, his Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is he, the King of Glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of Glory. Amen.
A beautiful psalm. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So we're going to sing. It's a bit like going back to school assembly and Sunday school this morning. We're going to sing All Things Bright and Beautiful.
He made the glowing colors, he made
the title, The Universe Did Not Just Come Into Existence by Chance. An additional title, It Is God Who Created the World. Psalm 102, verse 25. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Psalm 89, verse 11. The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. And then Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. I wonder, have you ever thought about how life began? If you are, as we are, Christians, surely we accept what the Bible says about the origin of life. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And let's be honest, from the very first verse in the Bible to the last book in the Bible, in Revelation, we see repeated declarations that God created our universe and everything in it. For instance, Revelation 4, verse 11. You are worthy, our Lord and God, for you created all things. However, those who hold to evolution claim that their view is supported by science. But friends, surely, ultimately, they still have to say that everything we see around us somehow came by chance, by random process that occurred without the help of any forces. How could it be? In the church where Eunice and I were married, among the people there was a family, a young couple. David was the man, Yona was the lady. The lady, much to the disgust, I think, of her husband, used to do a lot of personal work for me. You could almost call her a part-time PA. Wonderful woman, a wonderful life. Her father was a great theologian, he was a great teacher, and he was well known in Baptist circles. But Yona's husband, David, he believed in evolution. It was very difficult to talk to him about it. He was a professor. He had a degree, I don't know what it was exactly, but in science. And he would not be taken from his beliefs. They were right for him, and I can't see how they were, but and it came very strange, because many years later, when our pastor of that time had retired, he contacted me and he said, Bruce, I want to congratulate you because I know that you have been accepted as an accredited minister of the Baptist Union. But he said, I also want to tell you that David Pusey was not accepted. He didn't say any more, and I'm sure it is because of his very strange views about the how the world was created. Bless his heart, David eventually became accredited minister in Wales, but not in England, Scotland and Ireland. Strange, isn't it? How someone who incidentally had a good family, two good sons, one whom was a Baptist minister and a very good teacher of the Bible, a man with good views, not like his dad. It is strange, isn't it, how some people can stick in what they first thought and cannot or will not be willing to be moved. You know, the world around us points surely to God's existence and our responsibility. Does anyone have an excuse for not believing in God? The Bible says no. God has revealed himself through creation. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim his hands. And as creator, God assumes a place of preeminence. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. And that comes from Acts 17. Every person, as a created being, must surely either accept or reject God's place of authority and man's responsibility to God. I want to suggest that there is no middle ground, no place for a wait and see mentality. I know David used to say to me, "You wait and see, you'll see I'm right." The day is coming when God will judge every person's response to him. And at that point, there will be no excuse for rejecting God and rejecting him as creator. Try this. The next time there is a clear night sky in your area, find a dark place outdoors and look up. Look up for the infinite God in his infinite creation and hear his calls. The heavens surely, my friends, declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. I'm quite sure that most of us, if not all, have looked up to the skies in a lovely clear night and thought, what a wonderful creation this is. And we know surely then that it had to have a creator. It didn't just come by chance. The world around us also teaches us about our relationship to God. The Bible declares that God is the creator and as such is distinct from us. His creation, God is eternal. He is in control of that creation. He is in control of the universe. And yet out of the millions of stars and great expanse of the heavens, he chose to focus his great creative efforts on making us, as scripture says, in his own image. Remember what God said? God said, let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness. I wonder, can you believe it? As the great creator of all things, God set apart mankind. And that includes us as special in his eyes. Just as the Father loves his children, God loves us and he wants the best for us. But surely, by contrast, chance cannot offer this kind of personal relationship. Chance can only offer us a purposeless, impersonal existence in this life, and surely an eternity without any hope. And then finally, the world around us teaches about the worth of mankind. Not as mere animals, but in God's image. Now, surely, friends, that should tell us something about our worth. Human worth is not based on possessions, achievements, or physical characteristics, or nationality. Instead, it is based on being made in God's image. Those who can't or won't believe in creation also reject the God of creation. Can't have one without the other. If they reject creation, they also reject the God of creation. As a result, they view their fellow man just as another involved creature with no special worth. But knowing that we bear God's image should cause us to ask the question, How should I properly relate to God, whose image I bear, and to my fellow men, who also bears God's image? You know, Jesus was asked a similar question, and this is the answer he gave. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So then, what does all this mean for us? Well, I can tell you this. God, our creator, wants the best for us. And he has authorized a book, yes, the Bible, to guide us through life. The Bible, you know, contains everything that we need to know about how we can have this relationship with God, and how the relation moves us from being merely a creation to being a beloved son or daughter of God. Isn't that wonderful? And so the question that every person needs to answer is this. Why not choose the biblical option of creation by God? Yeah, why not accept that by God rather than by chance? Do you really believe things happen by chance? I certainly do not, and I'm sure you do not either. This wonderful world that we live, there has to be a creator. And what about our own lives? What about the relationship that we have? It doesn't come about by chance. We know in a personal God, a personal saviour. We see that God work as Father, Son, and Spirit. And we are very special as sons and daughters in his eyes. How could that be by chance? I just say rubbish. I can't believe it never will. My friends, there is a God, and if we want to know that God, we know him not only as our Creator, but we know him as our Saviour. We know him as the Spirit who empowers us. Oh, what a wonderful God we have. How can anybody say there isn't a God? We praise God because we know he is real. We know he is true. Amen.
So we couldn't not follow Bruce's message without singing, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made. I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, the power throughout the universe displayed. And just to say to Sarah that although we're having it today, we will have it in February as well for your dad. Anniversary. Good excuse to sing it twice.
Consider all the works I
beautiful song. I guess we're all going to have it at our leaving Thanksgiving, shall we call it? Our sending home. So we're going to finish with I, the Lord of sea and sky. So the Lord speaking to us this time. And our response is, here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart.
Thank you.
while we were singing, that I love doing this, and team, what's the expression? Team doesn't have an I in it, so obviously we very much do it together, and I just feel so privileged to be doing this. And as I was thinking that, I remembered, you know, when you go to a meeting and they say, is there anyone you need to forgive? And I think, no, I think I've dealt with everything as I've gone along. And as I was singing, I thought of my music teacher, who I was in the, it was a lunchtime choir, voluntary, you know, and I'd only been going a couple of weeks, and I got thrown out for talking. You can't imagine it. You can't imagine. But I want to say now that I forgive Mr. Parks, because I don't know if I ever have. Maybe I haven't, I've forgotten. But I forgive him, because I have told that story a lot and I've really not been very pleased with him about it, because it ruined my career. Anyway, but I love Mr. Parks. He's probably passed on by now, but if he hasn't, anyway, forgiveness for him. Forgiveness for me for talking. I know, but it's, you know, it's good to think on these things, because sometimes there are people we need to forgive, and, you know, maybe we haven't. So I just thought, I felt compelled to share it.
I thought you were talking about my dad, because I'm a Park.
Oh, yeah. I think it was Parks. Yeah. Bless him. Bless him. He's probably a wonderful man. If I'd given him a chance.
William Park was a great and wonderful example of a man of faith.
Amen.
Right, let's join together. There we go. May
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Hallelujah.